First time I met Pastor Bruce, I remember Pastor Stephen get me here, and he was almost not this nice guy, Pastor Bruce. He said, okay, welcome, and I said, ah, but I didn't know that he would be one of the close friends later to me. So thank you, Pastor Bruce, for being a good friend, really. Thank you, my friend. If you'd like to open, please, your Bibles with me to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 23, I apologize. Matthew 23. Our text is from verse 29 to 38, but I will read only verses 34 and 35. Matthew 23, verses 34 35. Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Amen. May the Lord bless his word for us tonight. You know, in our churches, in our lives, as people, we love to blame others. You know, like when Adam and Eve fall in sin, God spoke to him, Adam, and he didn't say, I did the mistake. He said, the woman. So we when there is destruction, when there is problem, when there is a sin, we love to blame others. And when he talked to the woman, he said, Eve, and she said, the snake. She said, not me, this animal, this is your mistake, God, you created. When it comes to churches today, when there is any problem, instead of searching myself and saying, Lord, was I the problem? Was I the reason of the destruction? I will say, maybe, Ghassan. Because it's easy to say it. When it comes even to families, when there is tension between spouses, you know, and anything happen from the children wrong, he will tell her, your child. He won't say our child. It became now her child only, and it's not his. And then she will answer him, no, it's your child. Because we love in our nature to blame others when there is destruction. And when we read this passage, really, why I'm preaching, you know, there is like about 10 subjects. The Lord put it on my heart, addition to many sermons I'm preaching this year. But this 10 subjects, because I saw that it is really our churches are misunderstanding these 10 subjects. One of them is the destruction. Who is the reason of any destruction in our life? And here in Matthew 23, these Pharisees, they were saying that, you know, the reason why the problem is coming to them was Jesus. But he answered them, he said, in 34, what said, I sent you prophets, I sent you wise men, I tried to solve your problems, but what you did, you killed them. You know, and here I will raise a question. I like somebody to answer me in raising hands. I like to interact sometimes. What do you think, who was the reason of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD? Who can give me an answer? Who was the reason of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD? Sorry? Who was 70 AD? Nero, an opinion, good opinion. was the Jewish people because they refused Christ? This is what we know, but look to me, please, to the verses 34, 35, if you go to 20, so 29, come back, you know. He will say, you love to participate in the blood of the prophets. And he's saying, because of that, if you go down to verses 37 and 38, he will tell them that your house will be kept, what? Built? Desolate. Because you, so the reason was the religious leader. What I'm meaning today, you know, we are starting a mission conference. What's the relation between mission conference, destruction of temple? Be patient with me a little bit, please. I know always, you know, mission conference, we love to preach from Matthew 28, Mark 16, Acts 1:8. But, you know, I feel this is really important for us to understand our mission in life. Our mission as churches in life. You know, these Pharisees was a group who knows the law by memory, who knows the scriptures by memory. Today, who are the group in the, let us say, in the United States, who knows the Bible by memory? Who will be? You don't want to name it, right? It is your child, not my child, the Baptist. The evangelicals, the Bible churches. We are the group that we know our Bible by memory. And if we didn't really live our Bible in the right way, we will be the reason of the destruction one day for our churches and our societies. The Lord here in this passage, in Matthew 23, he didn't blame the normal Jewish person. He's blaming people who know the law very well. And he's blaming them because they didn't act according to the law. They act the opposite way. They must, if they know the law very well, they must listen to the prophets, not kill the prophets. They must listen to the wise men, not to kill the wise men. They must accept the scribes, not kill the scribes. Today, when we listen to the voice of the prophecy in our churches, are we obeying it or not? When I say voice of prophecy, I'm not Pentecostal, I'm Baptist. Voice of prophecy, which means the voice of this book. When we hear it in our churches, are we obeying it? Or we are saying, this is a nice sermon. An opinion. He has his own opinion. I have different opinion. We have a problem, ladies and gentlemen, our churches. We have a problem of thinking that, you know, the truth is percentage. The truth is absolute because the truth is a person. And this person is named Christ himself. He's absolute in his personality. This is the reason his word is absolute. Because it is the word of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity wrote this book. So this, but how we are acting according to our friend, these Pharisees, they knew their Old Testament very well, but look their crime, how many years stayed, almost half of the history of the Old Testament, they stay acting against the law. Look what he said, from a righteous blood, Abel, to Zacharias, which means almost half of the history of the Old Testament. Which means God talked to them many times. They were refusing. Did God call you to be a witness? Are you witnessing every day? Are you faithful in witnessing? Or you are killing the voice. Please understand me. When you behave the opposite or against the voice of God to you, you are killing the voice of God in your life. You know, I knew myself, you know, my story, most of you. After I was saved, I know that God wants me to go and evangelize the Islam and the Druze and the Syrians. I didn't like this. I struggled with God a lot. Because I hate the Islam, I hate the Druze, I hate the Syrians. But God won the war at the end, and He forced me to go and be a servant to them. But I lost the privilege of 1 year being a tool that God can use it. For 1 year, I was resisting the voice. For 1 year, I was telling, send somebody else. I don't want to. Let them go to hell. How many times God is telling you, your neighbor waiting for you. I want you to witness to him. Your classmate, if you are in college or university, I want you to witness to him or to her. Your friend in your job. God doesn't put you in accidents in your life. Everything has a purpose. He put you in a company because He wants you to be light there. He put you in a school because He wants you to be a light there. Why He didn't put you in another company? Not because, really, they didn't like you. You need to think in this way. Not because they were unfair, they are against us as true Christians. Don't think like this. Think because God has better plan for me to be a light in this world. This Pharisees, when Zacharias, if you go to 2 Chronicles 24, 20 to 21, when Zacharias stand in the temple and told them, God says, and he said in these two verses what God told him to say, what they did, they killed him. But you know, Zacharias was faithful. And he gets the credit from the Lord Himself in these verses. And He named him a righteous blood. It is nothing to be a righteous blood to the glory of your Lord. Because the most righteous blood was shed for me and you one day at Calvary. So it's nothing if we shed a little bit of our blood, our time, our effort. But we have to say, God sent somebody else. God sent somebody else. When I look to our churches, sorry to tell you, it's not a word of discouragement, it's a word of reality. And we can change it. Because the God of Paul, God of Moses, is the same God of us today. And He can do it. But the problem of reality, why our church is becoming decreasing in numbers, in people who are committed to live Christian life? Why only from, if a church has 100 persons attending, there is only 5 people who are really the basketball players, and 95 are only the clapping team? Why? Because we are refusing the voice of the prophecy. What will happen if the Lord will come? What will happen to the 95? They won't go to hell. But sometimes we are really misunderstanding the meaning of grace. You know, the seat of Christ is a horrible place for the Christian woman who was not faithful in his life. It's not only you lose a crown, He will add a crown for you. I wish it is like this. He said, we will give accountability for every word, action we did it, evil or good. When He's saying evil or good, which means He knows that we are going to do evil works. And He is recording it since I was saved. He is recording it for you since you were saved. Imagine it is recorded. And one day, in front of every Christian, this book will be opened. Imagine today, maybe I cannot know what you are doing. You don't know what I am doing in a hidden way. But one day you will know. You will see, really? Brother Haddad was living this life? You know what the meaning of Pharisees? If you ask you first, hypocrites. And he said to them here in this passage from 29 to 38. He told them, you are from outside, you are so clean. From inside, bad smell. Are we sometimes like this? When it comes that God wants us as a church to be committed to the Great Commission, committed to the Christian values, committed to the Christian life, committed to the Christian family, committed, are we in a hidden way, bad smell, but in front of each other, I am the righteous. I am not judging anybody, I am judging myself. But it's good to examine yourself. It's good to examine yourself. It's good to examine today, repent today, better than being standing in front of the seat of Christ and he will open the record in front of millions. Think about it like this. In front of millions. As today, millions is reading this passage and looking at the Pharisees say, what a people they were. Because of their sin, the temple was destroyed. What a religious leader, what a kind of Jewish they were. Do you like somebody will say, what a kind of Christian he was. He deceived us one day. I hope this won't be upon me, these words. Or nobody will say it to me. But everything will be possible if we saw that we are the righteous people. So what the Lord is saying to us here, I want to gain time because I promised Pastor Bruce I want to preach more than 2 hours, so I will be committed to 2 hours only. So what is the lesson? You know, for us as a Christians who know our Bibles, God is expecting us to live according to this Bible. He is not expecting us to live less than this. Not above, because we cannot live above. But he is expecting us to live according to our book. Our mission to the whole world is telling them to live according to this book. Not according to our opinion, not according to our standard, but according to the book. So when we go in a great commission, we are going and telling the world, first of all, your salvation is through the God of this book. Then your life must be according to the standard of this book. For you, us as Christians, you know, when I look to Vermont, you know, maybe this is the first time I came to Vermont. You know, and every time I come, there is cold weather. It's not a problem if the weather is cold. The problem is the church is cold. And this is the danger today. The church has become so logical. Sorry, forgive me to tell you this. I feel. Say maybe sometimes it's society reason. Maybe sometimes who influence your area. But just becoming so logical. So logical. Because materialism entered the church. And we like everything to give it reasons, so I accepted it. If Pastor Bussi doesn't give me in a systematic way reason 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, I won't act as this presentation. This is the world loves this. The world loves systematic way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, the Bible, if you follow our Lord Jesus, none of his sermons was systematic order. All of it was stories. You know why? Because stories, you need faith to believe. Systematic points is proofs. Proverb number 1 and 2, and this talks to the mind. He was talking to the heart. Our Lord. This way. We are losing because we are speaking to the mind, not to the heart. And let me tell you, the Bible said, the sons, the children of the world, are wiser than us. So we cannot read the word with the wisdom. We need to read the word with the scripture. If they don't believe, it's their problem. Don't feel guilty. If they believe, it is for their benefit. They gain eternal life. Don't feel guilty. The only jobs you have to do it, I have to do it, we have to witness, we have to sow the seed. It's not my job to plant the seed. It's not your job to do it. It's not your job to let it grow. This is God's work. My work, your work, to go and throw the seed. And the rest is him, not me. In our church, if you saw your brother passing in difficult time, according to scripture, you need to feel sorrow. You need to have a burden to him. You need to give him time. These Pharisees, they didn't have any time for anybody. The only time was for them or who will agree with them fully. Let me tell you, I don't like anybody to come and tell me, we miss you. We didn't see you, Ghassan. Long time, 1 year. Okay, you miss me. There's email. Why you didn't send me an email? You are a liar. You miss me. Why you didn't send? Give me a Skype call? The Skype today. You miss me, there's Messenger. You miss me, there's WhatsApp. You miss me, there's Imo. You miss me, there's Line. You miss me, there's many ways to communicate today. Why are you lying? Say, I'm glad I saw you again. Done. We became Pharisees in our speeches and communication. We lost the standard of the Bible. This is the reason the people, they are not foolish. They can figure that we are liars, not Christians anymore. And how we can win the world? They cannot. No. Like my mom one day, I prayed for her for years. And one day she said, Ghassan, I want to go with you to the church. I said, praise the Lord, because my mom, she is Catholic. So I said, Ghassan, in that day, my pastor decided to invite another preacher to come. That preacher, he was preaching about the life after death. And he was saying, you know, Catholic believe this way, Orthodox believe this way, Baptist believe this way. It's only difference of wording, but it is the same belief. And my mom looked to me like this, said, you see, no difference between me and you. So why I have to come to your church? I will go to the Catholic church. Sometimes words can destroy a person. And sometimes destroy his eternity. When really we love the word, we need to be caring about our lips, how it moves. Our legs, where it goes. Our hands, what we do. Are we caring for the souls around us? Do we care for my brethren in the church? Let me tell you, you have cell phones today. If you saw one of your brethren is not on Sunday morning, don't wait till Wednesday to see if he has a problem. Outside, it's 25 cents maximum, a call. Give him a call. Tell him, I didn't see you in service. Is everything okay? Don't say it's the job of the pastor. It is our job, the body of Christ, to care about each other. In this way, the whole world will know that we are his disciples by loving one another. Not by sending great preachers to other countries. By loving one another. The Pharisees, they couldn't love even themselves. This was the main sin for them. This is the reason they killed any voice other than their voices. Are we protecting other voices or killing other voices? This is another question we have to answer one day. The other point is our, you know, are we expecting a miracle? These Pharisees were expecting always a miracle to come. They didn't get a miracle, but they get a prophecy. The Messiah himself was in front of them, and they crucified him. Are waiting for a miracle that you will see a revival in Vermont, a revival in your churches in Vermont, that churches suddenly will be attending in every church 250 to 500 members. If you are waiting for this, let me tell you, you are not realistic. The miracle, this miracle will happen in one way. If each one of us will be on his knee tonight and tell him, Lord, forgive me. I am ready to be your tool. I am ready to be your vase. Use me as you want. Send me to ever whom you want to go. I am ready. To my neighbor, to my family, to my relatives, to my children, to my parents, to my friends. Overseas, I'm not God. If God will tell you, go overseas, let me tell you, it is sin if you don't go. If God telling you, you need to be a witness here, it is sin if you don't start witnessing. I believe God asks all churches, every member, to be a witness. Because there's a big difference between witnessing and doing evangelism. Witness is the job of every member. Tell your testimony, what God did in your life. Evangelism, it's a professional way how to communicate with people without offending them. Testimony sometimes offend many people. Offend many people, but God will use it. The temple was destroyed. We cannot rebuild it anymore. But there is one person who is going, not will, he is going to rebuild it one day. Christ. Was telling them, you destroyed it. You are the reason of destruction. We are the temple today. We are the temple of God, as Paul said. Is your temple destroyed? Is your temple rebuilt? Is your temple still existing in a good way? How is my temple your temple? How is our temples? We are the temple of God because the Holy Spirit indwelled in us. How is temple? When the Holy Spirit tell you something, guide you into something, how you are responding? How you respond? Let me tell you a story so that you relax a little bit. You know, this story, one day God told me, go to Syria. Why, Lord, to Syria? He said, go to Syria. And this voice was coming to me. And let me tell you, we are missing these experiences because we think that prayer only, we want to tell God what he has to do. Prayer is also, we need to listen to him, what he wants us to do. This is a true prayer. I went to Syria. On the road, the intelligence, it is three checkpoints for three different intelligence. The military intelligence, economical intelligence of Syrian government, and later there is the national intelligence. So, stop me first. Open the trunk. We open the trunk. What's this book? Some Bibles. And the driver, he was scared to death. He said, now we are dead. And said, Bibles? Huh? Said, can I take one? I said, we start evangelizing. Open, take one. This one for you. And then the officer came. This was a soldier. And said, what you gave him? So he asked for a Bible. I gave him a Bible. He said, what about me? So, okay, this is yours. Before we left the three points of the Syrian intelligence, we were already one box and a half we were disputing. Why? Because God told me, go and I listened. It's not our wisdom. When we listen to his voice, he will work everything. It's not our ability. Why we are not seeing this in other countries? Your forefathers, they saw it, they lived it. There's many things happen here. The revival, you know, of New England, it's well known in New England. Jonathan Edwards. Well known to every one of you. Why there is no other Jonathan Edwards today? Is it because God changed? No, we changed. We need to confess. God only do revivals only in Philippines and Middle East and in Africa. Now he cannot do it anymore in the United States. This is false teaching. He can do it. But he is relying on us to start humbling ourselves. He will work it. You know, my heart will be broken always when I come to Vermont and I see only this number of churches and this state. Even I wish we have the same number in Jordan, or we have a revival because we are only one church in Jordan. But you know, but still, you are a few churches here. And today I was like hearing a small church of 5-6 members. I said, Lord, 5-6 members? Is this state really cold? It's still affecting the people even? Their attitude? Their mind, their response to the gospel? Is it affecting them? One day God used one man, Abraham. Then he used after that another one man, his name Moses. Then after that, he used another one man, his name Noah. Then after that, he used another one man, his name Isaiah. Then after that, he used Jeremiah. God doesn't need 200, 300 persons. Don't misunderstand me. But God, when he used one man in a great way, he will influence a complete area. The revival of Wales, if somebody know about it, it was one preacher one day, he went to Wales. And Wales in that days, it was full of bad stores for liquor and alcohols, and bad places for with bad ladies, bad to say the name, mention it even. Because of that preacher in that night, everything was closed. For 15 years, you didn't find a liquor store from one sermon was preached by one man who was committed to God. And he didn't preach it in a church building. He preached it on the street. And God used them to change Wales for 15 years to become a place without a liquor stores. Drunk people, no drunk people, no people committing adultery. People only praying to the Lord. Is it not possible or impossible that you will be one of these men? Is it impossible that you will be one of these ladies that God used one day? His name, Charles Thompson, a missionary, came to our country in Lebanon one day in the 19th century. The Islam killed him. After a few years, he arrived. when they killed him, his wife was in England, Mrs. Thompson. She heard about the death of her husband. And she stand in front of the church and said, God is calling me to go to Lebanon. And they told her, are you crazy? They killed your husband. She said, God gave him love to these people. I want to love them also, even they killed my husband. What a lady. She came. 23 schools she started, Mrs. Thompson. 23 schools, all the students were Muslims. But most of them, when they graduate, they were Christians. She loved them and changed them. Mrs. Thompson, till today, even the Lebanese government recognized her one of the best ladies in the Lebanese history ever. Even she is not Lebanese. She influenced even the government. Because she loved her Lord and she obeyed the voice. It's not easy. I'm not telling. If your husband died in a land, go and love. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit told you this, you need to obey. And this is a challenge today. The Pharisees, for them, it was easier. Let us kill them who is telling us the truth. Who is saying the voice of the Holy Spirit? If you know, the prophet was the voice of God, which means the voice of the Holy Spirit. They were killing the voice. We don't want to listen to the voice. What we are doing today, I will end it like this. God wants us to be servants, not managers. In the Church of Christ, in Church of God, so you don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking Church of Christ as a cult or sect. I'm saying Church of God. Whatever your job is or your position outside, when you enter the church, you are a servant. If you think you are higher than your brethren, you are Pharisees, you are not a Christian. I stand for my word. I repeat it. If you think you are higher than any brother or sister in the church, you are a Pharisee, you are not a Christian. God called us to be servants. These people, the Pharisees, they had the privilege to be the servant for the Jewish nation and to protect the temple, not to be destroyed. But they preferred to be the managers of the Jewish nation and to kill any prophet, any wise men, any scribes, and they didn't care about the temple if it destroyed or not. They cared about one thing, their positions. Who is your priority in life? God? You? Your family? Or you? The church ministry? Or you? The lost world? Or you? Who is your priority? May the Lord help us tonight to put our priority in the right way. That God is our master. We are servants. We are brethren. We need to listen to the voice of the prophecy. We need to obey the voice of prophecy. And we need to support the voice of prophecy. When we hear Great Commission is not only outside the United States. It's inside the United States. It starts from here. Even, you know, for us, you are the end of the world. You are not the starting of the world, let me tell you. Because when God gave the Great Commission, it was in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is the starting of the world. You are the end. Let us talk frankly what the Bible said. So, but today, for you, the end of the world is Jerusalem or New Zealand. For us, the end of the world is Australia. So each person, the end of the world is different. But whatever is the end of the world, you still have your own Jerusalem. You need to start with. And let me tell you, Jerusalem is not your neighborhood. Jerusalem is yourself, your family. If you cannot reach your family, you are not called to reach the whole world. If you cannot really reach your family with the gospel, this is a problem. Always, I ask any student apply to our school, He said, I'm coming to study. I will ask him one question. How many souls you went to Christ? She told me, none. I said, okay, so why you are coming to study? So I can win souls. I told him, no. Go and win souls and come. Because Bible college doesn't create evangelists. God make evangelists. God make witnesses. God make Christians. Don't do this. We help them. You know, remember who we are. Remember who is our Lord and what is our Lord in life. Our Lord starts supporting our church so we can support other churches outside the world. Let us pray.
Now we're back to Pastor Dan's message that he preached the Sunday night a little while ago, will I? And that's a good question that we need to ask as we go through each one of these meetings and we consider what the Word of God is being preached and how will we respond to that. Missions, praying, giving, going, how will we respond to that? So the Word of God has been preached tonight, and then we have an invitation time. We're going to have Dave come and lead us in an invitation song. And think about the Word before we get out of here. Think about the Word that was preached, the challenge that was given. Am I a Pharisee? Putting on a good show? Wearing the right clothes? Carrying the right Bible? Or I'm just a servant of God who's willing to do what God asked me to do? Just stand together for the invitation.